From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. We'll have open lines later this hour for you, and next hour, crash, when UFOs fall from the sky with Kevin Randall. Get ready for that. Here's what's happening. Attorney General Eric Holder says that federal authorities have now opened a criminal and civil investigation into the nation's worst oil spill, and BP lost billions of dollars in market value when its shares dropped in the first trading day since the company failed yet again to plug the gusher. Investors presumably realized the best chance to stop the leak was months away, and there was no end in sight to the cleanup. As BP settled in now for the long term, Holder announced the criminal probe, though he would not specify the companies or individuals that might be targeted. As he has done so often for us on Coast to Coast AM, Captain Kelly Sweeney monitoring the situation there. Kelly, we talked about this last week, that this was criminal, and here we go.
We sure did, George. I was going to tell you that when you mentioned last week criminal charges. This week, in the hearings that came out of the Joint Coast Guard Marine Minerals Management Service hearings in Louisiana, the Coast Guard has identified the captain of the Deepwater Horizon and the offshore installation manager as persons of interest because of their conduct on board. And in my opinion, this could ultimately lead to criminal charges. And there were a number of revelations that came out of the hearings and the testimony. And the most disturbing for me was the first one was the emergency disconnect switch, which could have prevented this entire disaster, George, was activated and failed.
Absolutely. Christopher Brownfield is a scholar on nuclear policy at Columbia University, and he is basically echoing what we've talked about, Kelly, and that is using nukes to get this thing resolved once and for all, citing that the Soviets did this many years ago and that it apparently worked for them. What do you think?
Well, I think that the problem with that, George, is that the well, the pool of oil under there, if they did do that blast, it might seal this one spot, whether they use a nuclear blast or whatever. It might seal this one spot, but it might open up somewhere else. And so I think that's one reason why they haven't tried it. I don't think there's a definitive answer on the response of what would happen if that were the case.
Too bad we couldn't go down there with a huge wrench and just twist it.
Oh, that would be really good.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Kelly, next time.
Sounds good, George. Thank you.
All right. Federal safety regulators are investigating new reports of gas pedals becoming trapped by floor mats in 2010 Ford Fusions and Mercury Milans. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration opened a preliminary investigation after receiving three such complaints involving unsecured all-weather floor mats. No reports of crashes or injuries here. As you know, we've been monitoring the situation with the Bilderbergs. What are they doing? Daniel Estelin has been following this story. First investigative journalist in the world to be invited before the European Parliament in Brussels to address the Bilderberg group. Here he is, live from Brussels on Coast to Coast. Daniel, what's going on out there now?
Well, good morning, George, from cold and gray Brussels. Good evening, United States of America. Yesterday, historic day for all of us, seekers of the truth. I stood up in front of the European Parliament, about 200 people in the audience, about 50 media representatives, and I gave a historic speech on what the Bilderbergers are and on their plans. After the speech, some people had standing ovation. Others were cautiously ovating. Others, you know, with a smirk on their face, but definitely they were in the minority. And after my presentation, I was sworn by media from all over the world. There were representatives from over 37 countries in the world at the European Parliament yesterday to hear my speech. We were, of course, posting it on my webpage today, danielestulin.com. As you know, Bilderberg Conference is starting tomorrow, and we already have a lot of information. So let's get right to it, if you don't mind.
Please.
I think a befitting headline to our update would be "The World is Out of Timeouts." That would be the headline. Now, several Bilderberg attendees told my source that they were actually thinking of passing on this year's invitation to the conference in Sitges because tensions amongst the members of this elite organization are running so high. In fact, this was already confirmed by Zbigniew Brzezinski himself, who at the recent Council on Foreign Relations speech in Montreal warned that a global political awakening in combination with infighting amongst the elite was threatening to derail the move towards a one-world government. Needless to say, my speech yesterday at the European Parliament certainly didn't help Mr. Brzezinski with his mood today. Now, it's an international phenomenon of response and reaction to an overly felt perception that the entire world is doomed to catastrophe unless we, the people, do something about it. From the Chinese real estate bubble about to blow to an imminent housing crash in Canada, from a more than expected treasury bubble collapse in the United States, to the meltdown in Spain, Greece, Portugal, Ireland, Iceland, and Italy that will draw the battle lines of those for and against the euro as the currency of choice. These are some of the options and choices the Bilderbergers are facing as they gather for tomorrow's opening a salvo in Sitges. But the number one concern for the Bilderberg Group's upcoming meeting continues to be Greece, even though it is no longer the headline of the world's mainstream press. Mm-hmm. Why? Because as my sources have confirmed, Bilderberg, along with the European Central Bank, are absolutely terrified to admit that the European Currency Union is a dismal failure. Now, EC approved the 750 billion euro bailout, that's about $1 trillion bailout package, only to realize that Greece is but the tip of the iceberg. The dam is broken, George, and other weak countries will be lining up for a similar backstop. How can they be denied? Also, the Europeans, they got away with a very illegal operation in Greece when the EC approved this bailout of a euro member state, which is a breach of the monetary union's guiding principles, according to the 1992 Maastricht Treaty. But they won't be able to do this again. Now, the bottom line, a violent sovereign debt contagion is spreading like wildfire throughout the eurozone. But as Bilderberg insiders admitted yesterday and the day before, if the Greeks get bailed out, who's next?
Oh, yeah, it's going to keep coming. And as you know, Daniel, your old home country of Spain, unemployment there is 20%. And, Daniel, you'll be checking in with us on a regular basis here during the Bilderberg Group meeting. Thank you so much. That's Daniel Esteland live in Brussels for us. Wrong intelligence, wrong guns, wrong tactics. Israeli's military has acknowledged big mistakes during the bungled boarding of a Gaza-bound aid ship in which elite troops killed 9 international activists. In a moment, newsman Greg Hunter joins us, and we'll talk more about that story, which could fester into some kind of major conflict. The worst grasshopper outbreak in decades may hit the western states this summer, scientists are warning. A dramatic rise in the number of grasshoppers was found during a survey of the western states conducted last year by the U.S. Department of Agriculture. And while that may seem bad enough on its own, it's really the grasshopper's offspring that are the threat. If last summer's adults were successful during the mating season, then the worst grasshopper infestation in 30 years could strike ranches and agricultural land in the Great Plains states between late July and early August. So get ready for that. Actor Charlie Sheen will apparently plead guilty to a misdemeanor offense and reportedly serve 30 days in jail, according to a source close to the negotiations in the star's ongoing domestic violence case. People magazine reports that Sheen intends to go to court on June 7th to plead to a misdemeanor and immediately begin serving his 30 days in jail. Homer Simpson has been named the greatest TV and film character of the last 20 years, according to Entertainment Weekly. The cartoon character, best known for his love of eating, beat schoolboy wizard Harry Potter to the top slot. Up next, Greg Hunter, USAWatchdog.com, joins us as we talk about the situation with Israel. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Well, he heads up USAWatchdog.com. Greg Hunter, spending years network experience as an investigative correspondent working for ABC News and Good Morning America. Most recently, Greg worked for CNN shows such as Paula Zahn, American Morning, and various other business programs. He's a tough reporter, and here he is back on Coast to Coast. Greg, how are you?
George, I'm doing well. Terrible things that are happening in the Mediterranean, but I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Okay, I'm fine. I want to get your take on this. I want to get your perspective on what you think this could escalate into. Will smarter heads prevail, Greg, and will this calm down, or is it going to get worse?
Well, you saw what happened, and I think the activists were kind of ready for the Israeli commandos. I mean, you don't generally have up on deck with you pipes and knives and stuff like that. Thank goodness they didn't have guns, but, you know, dozens were injured and 9 people were killed. The Israeli commandos say they were forced to fire. And all this stems from a blockade that started back in 2007. And what is really missed in this is a joint blockade with Egypt and Israel. And the reason why Egypt's involved is they don't want to recognize Hamas that was voted into office in a little corner down below Israel now, mm-hmm. They gave up that property. They voted into office, and Egypt doesn't want to recognize them. They recognize the Palestinian Authority, the main government of Palestine. The long and short of all this is that this blockade is causing some tremendous poverty where there already was tremendous poverty. That's on the Palestinian, the Hamas side. On the Israeli side, they say, hey, you've guys been firing rockets into our country.
It's smuggling arms in. We got to do something about it, right?
And we're going to have a blockade, and the guys in the Egyptians are even going so far to build a metal wall down on the ground and on their end of the deal to see if they can stop the tunneling in and bringing in of rockets. And it's worked to some extent. But the bad part of it working to some extent is there's a lot of innocent Palestinians that don't really have anything to do with the war and Hamas that are being starved, and they're not getting medical supplies and things like that. Now, that said, the Israelis do let humanitarian aid in, but you have to go through channels, and your cargo has to be searched. And they have found many times in the past intercepted ships with rockets and ammunition and grenade launchers and you name it. So it's a terribly complicated thing. Now, in this case, these ships came from Turkey. That is a NATO country.
Well, ever since it used to be. But, you know, now, don't they have a very staunch Islamic prime minister there now? And, who knows what he's going to do?
But the funny thing about it is they have ongoing military deals right now between the Israelis and the Turks. As a matter of fact, Israel is selling them drones to evidently fight their insurgents in the western or the eastern part or southeastern part of their country in Turkey. But so they have military and deals and arms supplies going from Israel to Turkey.
I remember back in the 60s, Greg, part of the Cuban Missile Crisis problem was because we had missiles in Turkey and the Soviets wanted them out. We kept them there, and then they figured, all right, we're going to put some in Cuba.
Correct. And then you had the whole, Cuban Missile Crisis where, we talked by firing shots across the bows of ships. And evidently we won that, supposedly, that they don't have nuclear missiles in Cuba to this day. But this is there's another aspect to this. Hamas is largely seen as a terrorist group. They are also a proxy for Iran. Iran supplies them. Now, here's where it gets really difficult and touchy. Iran has said, Ahmadinejad has said many times something to the effect of that they want to wipe Israel off the face of the earth, or it shouldn't be there, or whatever. They are enriching uranium. They supposedly have enough, it's been reported, they have enough to make a couple of nuclear weapons. This could play into any attack that Israel has if they decide to attack. I'm not saying they are, but if they do, and they've been having drills over there, that if they do, Hamas may start attacking from the south. Hezbollah may start attacking from the north to keep Israel busy if Israel attacks Iran and bombs their sites. So Israel has a tremendous need to make sure that Hamas does not get any more weapons and is able to start any kind of big rocket attack in the event that Israel decides to attack. I'm not saying they are, but that is certainly one of the many wild cards on the table. How that could affect America is the Straits of Hormuz. The Straits of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf on the north is controlled by Iran. It's only 30 miles wide. Iran, if they wanted to shut down the Straits of Hormuz, I think roughly about a third of the world's oil moves through the Straits of Hormuz from all the oil-producing countries. The world would go into a malaise. They would go into a shutdown. Oil prices may shoot up $100 a barrel in a matter of weeks. So this is a tremendously sticky, nasty situation. And meanwhile, there are reportedly new ships being sent by the Free Gaza movement to try to break the blockade. Now, Israel's not going to back down. One of their top Navy officers was quoted as saying, hey, our commandos were attacked, quote, as if it were war. That will mean what we will have to come prepared in the future as if it were war. That means they're going to use more force, not less, in the future.
How tense are things out there now, Greg?
Things are very tense. The whole world is everybody in the world has an opinion about this, including the United States. You know, we're calling for investigations into it. We're kind of riding the fence because Turkey is one of our allies. Israel is one of our allies. We kind of want to see peace in the Middle East. We've been, you know, striving for that since the Clinton presidency. George Bush tried to do that. Barack Obama would like to see peace in the Middle East. And, you know, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton was quoted as saying something to the effect of that we understand Israel's need to have security, but we also understand, the people in Gaza needing humanitarian aid. So we're kind of straddling the fence here. This could end up being a lose-lose situation for the United States. We're very, very nervous about the possibility of this exploding into a regional war over there.
It's all happening at the wrong time, Greg.
It's with all everything else going on in the world, with Korea, the Gulf spill, and now, you know, this flare up, and this is not going to die down. It's a remote possibility, but they're hoping that Turkey will not send their Navy. If that happens, you're going to start having.
Why didn't Turkey go to Israel and say, we have a humanitarian ship and we're bringing it through to Gaza. We want you to check it. Why didn't they do that?
That's the $64,000 question, because Israel is allowing humanitarian aid in.
They would have boarded the ship. They would have checked
it. That's right.
And they would have said, you know what? Everything's fine. On it goes.
Well, they would check the passengers, too. Another thing that's coming out of Israeli news services is that some of the passengers were, global jihadists, and this is what the Israelis say. They were global jihadists. They had packs of money in thousands and thousands of dollars. Now, is that for humanitarian aid or is that to, you know, fund terrorism? Well, who knows? Israel is very, very touchy about this. Remember, they had thousands and thousands of rockets launched from the south, from the Gaza, into their country. And, that was condemned, and nothing was said about the rocket attacks. You know, the Israelis attacking back was condemned, but nothing was said about the rocket attacks.
Well, you know, I've said for years, Greg, the Palestinian situation is abominable. We as a world need to work something out for those poor people. But nothing's happening. I mean, they're not doing it on their end either. I mean, the leadership, other than spouting rhetoric and hate, they're not trying to help their own people.
Well, it's a Hamas a charter that they exist to destroy Israel. So that to me is a giant roadblock right there.
Yeah, they should exist to negotiate a homeland for the Palestinian people, and they're not doing that.
You are correct.
All right, Greg.
You're correct.
Thanks for the update. We'll keep in touch with you. Greg's website, usawatchdog.com. It'll be part of our Twitter feed at coasttocoastam.com. When I come back in a moment, we'll have open lines for you. Let me give you the number so you can get a jump start. West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller, 818-501-4721. Wildcard line, 818-501-4109. And the Skype line, George, 97313. Okay, next hour, Crash with Kevin Randall. Some of the most incredible UFO crash stories I have ever heard. A history of famous incidents, conspiracies, and cover-ups, and done like Kevin Randall does. Just an incredible investigator. That'll be next hour. When I come back, we've got open lines right here on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. I got about 1,000 emails from you about the poem that I read on Memorial Day, A Soldier Died Today, and it is posted there for you under the show recap. Lex had it posted there for you. There's a link. You can download it, and many of you want to pass that on to veterans and other family members, so go ahead and do that. If you subscribe to the free Coast Zone newsletter, which is an e-newsletter, comes to your computer every morning, there's a link there for you as well. And just as a program note, July 4th, that's coming up, believe it or not, that's the first Sunday, and I do the first Sunday of every month. So we will have a live program for you also that Sunday on July 4th. Open lines now for the rest of this hour. Let's pick it up by going to Chandler, Illinois. Dennis, you're up on the wildcard line. Hey, Dennis, welcome to the show.
Yes, hi, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to ask you why you think, well, first of all, it amazes me that over the history of since Israel was formed in 1948, how anybody could take Hamas and Hezbollah and all these different things that they're doing seriously. You know, I think that the people being in Gaza was just basically Hamas using civilians as a foil so they could hide behind them and shoot rockets into Israel. And I can't believe that so much of the world is so willing to, in a knee-jerk reaction, condemn Israel when they're only trying to just exist. And I wanted to ask you, George, why do you think that the United Nations is so against Israel? That's what it seems to me like. It seems like they're, I mean, you know, here you got North Korea bombing a South Korean ship, and that doesn't seem to bother the United Nations any, or the genocide in Darfur, but every time Israel does something, the United Nations wants to condemn them. What do you think about that?
There seems to be, this is my perception, there seems to be an international game afoot to try to encircle Israel and squeeze them. I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm not going to give everybody a history lesson here, but, you know, I'm Middle Eastern, and I have a pretty good sensitivity about that region, and I've studied it all my life, the culture and everything else.
I knew some of your relations were from the Middle East.
Yeah.
I didn't know where, but, yeah.
And some of them are still there. This is the mistake that this planet made in 1948, when we rightfully carved out a homeland for Israel, we forgot the Palestinian people. And in so doing, and what happened there, you had a lot of people who moved in from other regions of the world who were Israeli, who were Jewish, and they wanted homelands. You know, after the atrocity of World War II and the Nazis, they deserved a homeland. And they kept taking and growing, and the Palestinian people kept getting displaced. Their homes were left, and it was a disaster. And nobody stepped in and said, hey, we got to get this under control. We got to take care of that. And this problem festered, and it grew. The Holy Land is one thing. What happened is another. Now, you've got a lot of Palestinian camps there. I have a friend of mine who was a doctor who was born in Ramallah, who I trust explicitly. I trust him with my life. the conditions there for the people, the Palestinians, absolutely deplorable. Deplorable. So now you have these groups, Hamas, Hezbollah, fighting, positioning, stealing, when they have forgotten the true thing, and that was to carve out a good homeland for the Palestinian people. Sometime this world has got to get together and say, we got to make this right for everybody. But I feel as if this world is beginning to turn against Israel, and I think that's a huge mistake. And, you know, I hope that our government has the guts to step forward and stop that. I'm not sure I'm seeing that right now. I don't think this administration seems to be pro-Israel. As a matter of fact, President Barack Obama has lost more support with the Jewish vote this quickly than any other president. And, you know, and he had support when he came in. But it's a big problem. It's a festering problem. And it could put us all on the brink of a third world war with the Iranian situation, what's happening now. And that's unfortunate. This world has got to do a better job to step forward and get this resolved. And we need to do that as well. Let's go next to Concord, California, west of the Rockies. Tommy, you're up with us. Hey, Tommy.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay.
Hi, George. I just wanted to say, it's amazing when you look at the video of this Israeli raid, the amount of aggression that was expressed against those soldiers boarding, fast roping from a helicopter on board the vessel. You know, I don't think the Israelis were left with any other option except to use deadly force.
It was a bad situation for both sides. You know, I know if I were on a ship and I saw some soldiers coming down a rope from a helicopter, and if I had a weapon, I'd probably try to protect myself for too. There were two sides there that I think made both fatal mistakes there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, certainly. But, I mean, isn't there also a sort of a code? I mean, you yourself were an officer in the
Navy.
In the Navy. And isn't there a certain code along with merchant vessels that if you see, like, marked military helicopters approaching your vessel or naval, forces of, say, another nation, if you're to be boarded, you're not really supposed to resist. Isn't that correct?
That's not only correct. If you're not doing anything wrong, you just simply say, come aboard. What's the matter here? And
right.
And then let them check the ship, and then you go on your merry way.
I don't understand why the people on board this vessel that was trying to get to the Palestinian territories and humanitarian aid didn't just comply and allow itself to be boarded and searched.
Or even announce it before they even got into the area.
Sure.
You know, they should have said, here we are, we're on our way, we're bringing all these humanitarian things, and you can stop and check us out.
I mean, it seems like a 99% legitimate, operation. I don't understand why they won't allow any scrutiny.
Yeah, it's a tense situation. It's going to get worse.
Yeah, unfortunately. And it's like a proxy war going on between Iran, Israel, and the United States, with Lebanon and the Palestinian territories being used as the punching bag.
We as the United States, as an ally of Israel, need to step up to the plate and say, look, mistakes were made here, but you know what? You have Hamas, you have Hezbollah, you have gotten missiles in from Iran and God knows where, and that's unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. Let's go to our Skype line. George is in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, George, welcome to the show.
Hi there. How are you, George?
Good, George.
I was just wondering about this business out in the Middle East. It's getting kind of tense. And I was thinking about the guest you had on last night, talking about dimension.
Yes.
And this could very well plunge the earth into a dimension that is extremely unpleasant. And I just wanted everyone to be aware of that fact and hope that we can somehow avoid it.
Interesting that we're getting close to 2012. I'm not sure the Mayans meant this, but it is strange. We'll go next to Angelina in Long Island, New York, on the Wild Card Line. Hello, Angelina.
Oh, hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a comment that I know it's going to be really unpopular, but it's a comment that I think we're just not addressing. regarding the whole, you know, Israeli-Palestinian conflict here. A history lesson is that Israel used to be called Palestine. Somewhere along the lines, you know, as you said, the country was just, you know, snatched from the Palestinian people. The justification given that during World War II, 6 million people, Jewish people died, so their relatives get a new country. Well, I just think we're not addressing that. That was just a very short-sighted, you know, decision. We have 27 million Russian people died. Their relatives did not get a new country. You know, so somewhere along the lines, it's just not being addressed, you know.
Well, you know, and as I've said, Angelina, we as a nation, as a world, should have carved out a homeland for the Palestinians at the same time. And that is the crux of the problem. And that's, you know, where it continues to get worse all the time. It just doesn't go away. Terrorism because of it. Everything. This whole planet is upset over this. And it's got to be stopped. Let's go to Pittsburgh, Kansas, east of the Rockies. Brandon's there. Hey, Brandon, good morning.
Hey, George. Well, I had a couple of things on my mind I wanted to tell the Coast to Coast audience. The first one's real quick, and I've thought about it a little bit, but a lot of people that you've talked to said that there might have been giants in the past. And I think that if there really were giants in the past, we would have found the bones of these giants or fossils of these giants, just like we have found dinosaur bones and dinosaur fossils. So that's why I don't believe in the giants. And then the second thing was, after this BP oil spill, I used to think that there was a good chance that extraterrestrials had, you know, were here on Earth and had integrated and intertwined themselves into our society and were interacting with us. But now, after this spill, I don't necessarily believe that anymore, because you think that these extraterrestrials would have used their intelligence to fix this horrible spill going on in the Gulf Coast, and it's nothing has worked. If they were here on Earth, anywhere at all, you know, you think that they would have come up with an intelligent way to fix it.
I don't think they have intertwined themselves with us as all. As far as the giants are concerned, you know, other than the internet pictures we've seen, which are probably hoaxes of giants in buried and things like that, there really has not been any definitive proof other than what the Bible says, that they were giants. Let's go to Luis in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hey, Luis.
Hi, George. It's Louis.
Okay.
I enjoy this show. I'm not too far from where the rig exploded. But I think it's a good idea on how to fix this pipe. You know, they got these machines that weld underwater. Are you there?
Yeah, but do they weld that deep?
I don't know. Being mechanical, you'd think they, you know, they had the other robot, you know, down there. They had these other machines. But what I was thinking, why can't they build a valve, leave it in the open position, and put it over the pipe, weld it up, and then
turn it somehow?
Close. Yeah. Well, they have like a slide valve. You know what a gate valve is?
Sure.
Like a gate valve. You know, it wouldn't have the pressure as long as it was open.
And then slowly
welding it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then slowly close it after it's, you know, the weld's finished and done.
Could they get the robots to do that?
I would think so. I mean, considering everything else they've tried with them down there.
Well, you know what? That plan could work. It's better than what they've been doing.
Yeah, because nothing they've tried so far has worked. I mean, that was just my thought.
Well, and you're right. Part of the problem is
almost.
It's the pressure. They can't stop the pressure, and, you know, it's blowing everything out that they put back in. Let's go to La Crosse, Wisconsin. It's Gene's turn. Hi, Gene.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call, and thanks to the Lord for keeping the technology going where my phone don't continue to cut off every time I call in.
Good.
I was able to call in for probably more than 2 months now to think of it, although I told a screen or two. I'm probably, God knows it's really right. But I do want to thank our veterans for the past and present, and in Jesus' name, to those who are not with us any longer, and still in his name, to those who have served and you know, spilled their guts out, pardon my language, but spilling their guts out and spilling their lives for all they've done for this country. And I pray this administration starts to wake up to whom and what they are for what they're doing. It's that simple.
Well, there you go. Sound off. We've got to do another sound off show one night. Let's go to Joseph in Corpus Christi, Texas, first time caller. Hi, Joseph. Go ahead.
Hello, George. Hi. I got a question for you guys. I had an experience about 9 months ago. I was in a library, just minding my own business, do whatever. And all of a sudden, it's kind of strange from the get-go. I've seen this lady dressed all black, wearing her old-fashioned cross. She said her name was Elizabeth. She knew me right off the bat. She said, your name's Joseph, right? I'm like, yes. And then all of a sudden, she just disappeared. And I asked why I was asking somebody if they knew who this lady was. They said no. Somewhere, I'm trying to figure out who is this person or what this thing is, and how did it know me?
What do you mean she just disappeared? Like she wandered away, or she just poof, she disappeared?
Like she kind of wandered off, because I was trying to follow her through the library, but no trace, no sign of her. And the thing that was kind of weird is, you know, it was like 90 degree weather heat. She's dressed all black, and you know, it's just. This is kind of weird.
Did she appear to be evil to you?
No, she wasn't evil. She was very kind, very, very nice. But it's just kind of weird that she knew who I was automatically.
And then off she went. Well, I can't help you there, but at least if you thought she was okay, that's the important thing. Let's go to Victoria, British Columbia. It's David on the international line. David, go ahead.
Terrific. Good day to you, George.
You too, David.
Anyway, I just think this Israeli commando thing is just so overblown, and you can tell just the way the whole world is jumping on it. It's like, it seems to me it's like an anti-Israel kind of pervasive feeling.
And it's growing.
That really, it's just this incident. I mean, how idiot can you be to attack a Israeli commando carrying Uzis with a pipe?
Exactly.
You know, obviously they showed patience. It wasn't until from the films we see that one of their fellow commandos was tossed off a level until they opened up, and they were just trying to protect themselves. So it makes you wonder if aboard that ship there were some, you know, the Israelis are saying there was caches of cash, and that there were some people that the Israelis knew they weren't going to be getting through if they got inspected.
See, I think we're getting close to something with Iran.
Yeah.
I feel it, and I think they're aware of it, and Hamas is aware of it, and Hezbollah is aware of it, and they are trying to get missiles in for them. And I think the Israelis are aware of that, and they're putting a stop to it.
Well, it makes me think that the some of the elements on the ship were thinking, well, we're not going to get through. The next best thing is to have an incident. Let's rile these people up to attack these guys.
Well, and it has appeared to be an international incident all over again. And we'll just see how it unfolds as well. Lots of things going on this planet. This world just never seems to slow down, does it? Up next, Kevin Randall joins us on Coast to Coast AM. Crash. When UFOs fall from the sky.